Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? This evening we will be in the Gospel of Luke, reading this birth narrative. I'll begin at verse 8 of Luke chapter 2 and read through verse 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Father, as we come to this time of your word preached, only you can change us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would give us new eyes, new ears, hearts that beat for you, and a mind that thinks correctly. Holy Spirit, remove anything, boredom, distraction, discomfort, noise of any kind, outside or inside, that keeps us from hearing the wonder of this true story of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior being born. We pray this in your name. Amen. Many of you tomorrow are going to hear words that you have heard probably most of your Christmases. You've said it and you've heard it. And the statement is, this is the best Christmas ever. See, you know, you've said it, you'll hear it. I'm one of five children, and now I'm a father of five children. I can't remember a Christmas where someone in our family didn't make that statement. 1976 was a big year. I remember specifically what made me say, this is the best Christmas ever. It was a specific bike, which I've talked about before, but that wasn't the only thing under the tree. 1976, the toy maker Kenner had come out with essentially a doll for boys. It wasn't what would eventually come, something called My Buddy, which I never had, but this was Stretch Armstrong. This was a doll, superhero, made of latex, and if you opened it up, which many of us did to see what was inside, corn syrup and sawdust. What was its purpose? To grab it and to stretch it as far as you could. He was built like a bodybuilder. You would grab a sibling or a friend and you would see how far. And they said you could stretch it up to 7 feet. And we did. My wife recently said, you know, you only talk about the toys you received at Christmas. What about all the women in the church? Well, let's talk about what you had under the tree in 76. Many of you had a baby doll. A doll which toy companies were competing to see who could make the most realistic doll, could simulate things that real babies do. And in 1973, 3 years before Kenner came out with Stretch Armstrong, they created a baby that would actually eat food, that was in a package that you would have to continue to buy, that you would then mix with water, and with a real spoon, you would feed the child. And if you push the lever on the baby's back, that baby would chew. That food would not be digested, but it would empty into a real diaper. And then you would have the privilege of changing that baby's diaper. How many of you had that? A lot of women are raising their hands. I wonder what names fought to win the title of that toy. What won this title? Baby Alive. Thank you. This is the best Christmas ever. Three sisters, each of them had their own baby alive. Each of them played with it endlessly. The best Christmas ever. The past few weeks, as we've looked at the fullness of the incarnation, I've made this statement in each service, that the older we are in Christ, the greater Christmas should be. Not just the older that we are, but the older we are in Christ. Spurgeon says it this way: after you have heard this story of the birth of Christ for 50 years, you see more of the fullness of the incarnation than you did at first. And that's why for us who have been walking with Jesus for a long time, this should be the best Christmas ever. And next December 25th, the same. And on until Christ returns and we actually do see him in his fullness. For many of us though, we tend to think, I've heard the story. What can be added to the story? What's added to the story isn't the elements. It's the eyes of the sinner saved by grace being opened to the awe and wonder that he saved a sinner like me. I want you to think for a moment about what you just heard me read and what had to take place in order for us to gather to celebrate. I don't mean the hours of practice, the hours of study, you scheduling and getting your friends and family here. I'm talking about God's plan to save his people. When sin entered the world, we're told about it in Genesis 3, God's plan was to rescue, to redeem his people. And the only way it was gonna happen is if Christ Jesus became a man. In the fullness of time, when God himself desired for it to happen, there were shepherds out in the field doing what they had been trained to do. They had no idea that what they were about to experience was going to happen. There was no prediction that this would be the night. But when each of those shepherds were being knit together in their mother's womb, God knew that this is the one, when I am ready, that will hear the angel's voice. This is another one, and this is another one. And they're going to hear that angel's voice that says, today in the town of David, a Savior is born. And they're the ones that are going to be overwhelmed with fear. And they're the ones that are going to see this multitude of angels and hear them say, glory to God in the highest. Those were real men, real shepherds. And it shows us in Luke's account of how God works. When he is ready, he reveals himself. And he reveals himself through his word. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, at some point in your life, he revealed his word to you. You didn't deserve it, neither did I, but he revealed it to you. And he offered you in that moment irresistible grace that caused your heart that wasn't just sick and immoral to beat for him, to suddenly see that these words about Jesus are true, that he truly is the one who came when God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died. That night, the shepherds, when they heard what was said, received that word. They received that message. If you're in Christ, there was a moment in your life where you received that word and you rested in Jesus alone. And by God's grace, because you were made new, a new creation, you wanted to follow him. You wanted to seek him. Luke tells us that when the angels had gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go and see this thing that we've been told about." They went with haste. Verse 16 says, "And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." I want you to hear this. Most of us have wrong ideas about the incarnation. Throughout history, there have been wrong ideas about the incarnation because people couldn't comprehend and can't comprehend that this baby in the manger is truly and fully a baby. 100% human baby. He cried like you cried. He nursed like you nursed. He slept like you slept. And while at the same time, this baby was fully and truly God. Unless God opens our eyes and our ears to believe this, we never would. It's inconceivable, but it's still true. When the shepherds got there, Luke tells us that the word that was revealed to them, the word that they received, they now have responded and they're present with the one to whom those angels spoke. They see Jesus. They see this baby. They see the mother of this child. They see the earthly father of this child. And we're told that they speak about what they had been told concerning this child. And verse 18 says, "And all who wondered at it, what the shepherds told them." But I want you to see verse 19. I really want you to anchor here. "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I want you to think about this for a moment tonight. God planned from all eternity this moment when the angels would descend, when they would proclaim that this child had been born. The child is just like any other child that's ever been born, except there's no sin in him. That's why it had to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and a virgin. But in every way, he's human. But he's also fully God. He took on that which was not his flesh. And that flesh he still has this day, risen, ascended, reigning as our king. But when the shepherds got there, speaking of what they had seen, revealing to Mary and Joseph what had been said, Luke tells us something really significant about Mary. Now think about Mary for a moment. She's just given birth, real birth, that humans have been giving since the beginning, pain, anguish, exhaustion, in the midst of a city that is noisy and loud, in a stall because there's no room in the inn. And what does she do? Luke tells us that she treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. Most of us don't do this very well. And it's why Christmas for Christians doesn't continue to get better every year and even every day. Each day with Jesus is not necessarily sweeter than the day before because of what it means to live in this fallen world. But when we are pondering him, treasuring him, our affection for him swells. The word ponder means to weigh. It means to consider. Many of you are mothers or grandmothers. Many of you will become mothers and grandmothers. Some of you want to be mothers, and that's not been what God has willed at this point. It's hard. Holding a child, this mother Mary is not holding anyone that has ever been born like him. You couldn't tell that from a distance, his cry, his hunger. He's a real baby. He's not a pretend baby. He's not partly God and partly baby, human. He's fully human, fully God. This child, as Mary holds him, I want you to imagine what she's pondering. I imagine that Mary went back to the first words the angel spoke to her. Fear not. You're going to conceive a child. I imagine she remembered what Elizabeth said to her when she went to see Elizabeth, when she said, the mother of my Lord, speaking of the child growing inside her. 9 months. It wasn't faster than that. This child, Jesus, was knit together in her womb. And now as she holds him to her chest and she ponders and weighs all that has been said about him, that the shepherds have said tonight, a savior has been born. What does it mean that he will be a savior? I want you to hear this. And I want you to think deeply about what you hear. A moment ago, we confessed our sins publicly. And then Rob encouraged us in a season of private sin. Sin is not just a few bad decisions. Sin is not just missing the mark. Spurgeon said this about sin, and it connects to the incarnation. Please lean in and listen to what he says. He who came to save men, today in the town of David, a savior is born. He who came to save men is no other than God. Therefore, he alone is capable of viewing sin from God's standpoint and of understanding what was due to God because of man's sin. Spurgeon says, you think perhaps that you comprehend sin, but you and I cannot do anything of the kind. We often think we can comprehend other people's sin, but you and I cannot do anything of the kind. Sin is an evil too monstrous for the human mind fully to know its heights and depths, its lengths, its breadths. But Christ, who is God incarnate, fully knew what sin meant. He had plumbed it to the very bottom and knew how deep it was. He had gazed upon it and felt all the horror of its unrighteousness, ingratitude, and turpitude. Its sinfulness struck his sinless mind with all its awful force and overwhelmed his holy soul with a horror which none but he could bear. And that's why he had to be God. And that's why he had to be man. The baby that Mary is holding took a first breath, just like you did. Most people average between 20 and 22,000 breaths a day. Jesus breathed like a normal human until the word tells us he breathed his last. Just after he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus Christ was born to live the life that you and I were called to live but never could. And he did it perfectly. Jesus Christ was born to die the death we all deserve to die. And that is the gift of this Savior, this man. Mary doesn't understand all that is going to happen in the next 33 years. But that night, she's pondering, weighing, chewing on the things that she's heard. Do you know how to ponder? Do you know how to treasure something? Yes, you do. Pondering is meditation. We as believers should be meditating upon what God's word says about his glory, about his greatness, about his goodness. But so often our pondering is centered on anxiety. And anxiety is meditation. It's meditating on all that's broken, all that could be lost. There's no question that as a human mother, Mary would have had moments of anxiety. But in her pondering, those things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. I imagine most of you this season have felt the anxiety of it, the busyness of it. Tonight, my prayer is that you would leave this place, maybe even just pondering that one verse. Unto you this night, a Savior is born. Maybe you came to this place tonight not knowing you need a Savior. Or maybe you came to this place tonight not thinking you need a Savior. Or maybe that there are many Saviors. But this is the truth. There aren't many Saviors. And there aren't many gods. There is one. And the God is the one to whom this night we celebrate his birth. That word was revealed to the shepherds. And they received it and responded by moving with haste to Bethlehem. Upon telling Mary and Joseph what they heard about this child, that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, this baby's the Savior. Mary pondered those thoughts. And imagine all the thoughts she pondered. Imagine as she looks at his little toes. Imagine as she feels his hand grasp her finger. And while this baby is grasping his finger, this same baby is upholding the entire universe by the word of his power. That is awesome. I'm not sure how much time the shepherds spent there, but when they left praising and glorifying God. Why? Because what had been revealed to them was shown to be true. And tonight, whether you expected it or not, the same word has been revealed to you in song, in liturgy, in prayers, in the public reading of Scripture, in a sermon. Have you received that word? And the word is not just instruction. The word is not just a list of exhortations. It is a person, the only person who could save you. You might have thought for a moment tonight, after publicly confessing our sins, and then having a season of private confession, and then having the words of assurance spoken from the gospel, that what a strange thing to sing so joyful a song as "Go Tell It on the Mountain." But that's the point. You have been forgiven if you're in Christ. the sin that you and I have is no longer held against us. The penalty has been paid. The greatest gift that could be given has been given. Indeed, heaven could give no more. If this is brand new to you, we would love nothing more than to tell you more about Jesus. Even this night, as we continue in worship and close in a moment in prayer, this could be the night that you receive what has been revealed. If that happens, tell someone. But for those who've already received, who've already believed, it's very easy to just move through the motions, treating Christianity as if it's nothing more than a worldview instead of this intimate union with Christ, the transcendent and personal God. If this Christmas you can't say this is the best Christmas ever, there's one remedy. Ponder. Ponder him. Ponder his word. Treasure up him. Last thing I'll say, those two words, treasure and ponder, written in the imperfect, mean that it's an activity that is to continue. Most likely, you're not pondering the great things of the Lord because you're pondering and treasuring lesser things. And if you continue to ponder and treasure lesser things, then indeed, each day with Jesus, each Christmas we celebrate his birth, will not be better than the one before. But if you surrender to him and you look at his word and you humbly come and say every day, there's so much about you I don't know. Teach me, Lord, your word. He will. He promises. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Filled by the one who was lying in the manger when those shepherds arrived. Father in heaven, what a gift for us to be together tonight, to remember, to rehearse, to anticipate, to encourage each other. Father, if there are those present who, for the first time in their life, have heard things that they've never known, overwhelm them. Bring them to yourself. Friend, if you want to know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, just simply pray, telling Christ that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and that there is only one. And simply pray for Christ to forgive you and rest in him alone for salvation. If that is a prayer you pray this night or sometime soon after, tell someone who is a faithful follower of Jesus that they may encourage you. And friend, if tonight you came and you admit, I just am checking a box, pray even now. Oh Lord, teach me to ponder. Teach me to chew on your word. Teach me to know that as I do it, because I'm in you, you are living in me through your spirit. Oh Lord, lift our eyes to behold once again the glory of this birth, this life, this death, this resurrection, this reign, and your promised return. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.